prior to the rally, which will be held here in Pershing Square, that is designed to confront the issues of police abuse and brutality here in Los Angeles. It's interesting to note that the atmosphere is very relaxed now, about an hour prior to the rally, and LA police officers are engaged in casual conversation with a young woman who is obviously dressed as a anarchist and having a conversation that's very friendly and very frank about what they're doing and why they're doing it and how they have to behave during the various actions and protests that are happening here in Los Angeles. So it's a very different scene today before the rally than we've seen during rallies and protests, where the police are very confrontive and very aggressive. But prior to the scene of today's rally here in Pershing Square, which is directly confronting the police and the police establishment, LAPD officers are engaged in relaxed conversation with people who are obviously here to engage in the protests later today.
I wake up and I can't breathe.
Anywhere near the city, it's
like it has new laws for steel mills have to get rid of the waste, other waste.
Oh, no, I understand, but you still got to figure with all those bikers, at least around the city, it's got to be smaller.
Well, I don't live in Seattle, I live in the suburbs.
Well, yeah.
Like, the biggest city around me is Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which, that was cool. I went to Philly for the Republican convention.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
How was it? Police officers talk to you. They weren't just nice, they would just talk to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my friends and I were beaten by PA cops.
You were what?
Beaten by PA cops. We were walking into our car, we were about 30 feet away from our car, they told us to turn around, but like, our car's right there. You know, it's just license plate. They're like, we don't care, turn around. So we turned around, we were surrounded by bicycle cops.
A lot of other people could see that.
Like, a man started searching me, you know, patting me down, and I was like, I'm requesting a female officer, you know, make me feel comfortable.
Yeah, I know.
He was like, well, that's all right, none of us want to touch you, you're an animal, all this stuff, and I pulled out my inhaler, because that's what punched me in the face, I was having an asthma attack, and he was off on my inhaler.
We spoke with one of the frontline police officers on duty at Pershing Square, Officer Saavedra. I mean, you're here engaged in really casual conversation with people, and I mean, you know, really friendly, really approachable, and all of this stuff is going on. You guys are having to work really hard. And I just wanted to get, you know, just in general, about what you think about all this, the Democratic Convention coming here, all of that.
Like I said, I'm just doing my job. It could be anything. You know, they tell us, you're out here, and I'm just doing my job. I don't care what it is.
are you having to work 12-hour shifts and all of that?
What do you mean?
It's got to be pretty rough, I would imagine.
It catches up, I guess, but eventually, you know, we go back to our old regular schedule, and, you know, it's no big deal.
Will you be glad when all of this is over?
Oh, yeah, I know my feet will. But it's good. It's a good thing, you know, like it says, they're not getting out of hand or nothing. And, you know, we don't mind them speaking their mind, you know, as long as it's peaceful. And that's it. You have a good day.
You too. Directly in front of Officer Saavedra and several other police officers, a very interesting discussion was taking place about the police and their activities and place in society.
Maybe it's not you individually, but as a whole, it happens. Yeah. It's corrupted. And that's why I can't.
I've been talking to them, and they have been so polite to me. I mean, I asked, you know, like, why he decided to become a police officer, and he answered me, you know? I was just curious.
I mean, I'm sure that these guys probably want to help, like, normal people out there. But I think we're normal people. I think we should have a right to go walking down the streets.
Yeah,
I think as a normal people, we should have a right to say what we want to say.
Exactly. Like, I don't understand why those people got arrested for just riding their bikes down the street. What kind of human rights is that? You don't get what's next? We're going to get arrested for walking down the street?
For saying what we want to say?
I mean, where's our human rights? Where's our constitutional rights? None of that works these days.
I mean,
no
I can see, like, you know, like if let's say that I'm bothering somebody, and these guys over here, you know, these guys dressed in whatever color, blue, I guess, you know, it's like, all right, I don't want to be bothered by people either. Like, you know, that's why I ask you, is it okay to talk? I mean, I don't want to be bothered, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I personally think it's a good thing we have police officers, you know what I mean? Because think about it, like, there's, like, gang violence and everything. Without police officers, it would hit all of us.
I personally think police officers are needed. Because they're a person with like, I don't know how to explain it. They have the mind of a person that they have. They're just another person, and they have authority. They're going
to
abuse it.
You know what I like
it.
About this whole thing right now?
They're going
to
abuse
it. We're talking.
Exactly.
And we had a right to talk, and we got free speech going on right now, and we're not getting hassled, and here we are in
the open
air. I wish
we could sit here and talk to the whole LAPD like this.
Officer Saavedra. Does it concern you at all, though, that you have some people in the community that feel like at least with some of the police, they have to be afraid of them?
Everyone's got their opinion. It doesn't really...
You think it's unjustified?
Not really. I mean, everyone speaks from experience, so I don't know what happened in the past. It might not have been with us, it might have been with someone else, but, you know, it all depends. It's just their experiences and the way they were raised is what they get their opinions from. So
we talked with Rick, an EMT who is acting as a medic on behalf of the protesters here in Los Angeles during the Democratic National Convention.
I'm a Seattle veteran. I was a medic up there also, and I'm a medic down here at the Democratic National Convention.
Talk, if you will, about the role that a medic plays down here.
Mainly what we're doing is patching up. We also have a radio dispatch to get a paramedic unit. Fire department has been real supportive in helping us out and getting paramedic units down here for us. Essentially, my job is to clean up, patch up, and to move people back to where they need to be. Whether they're sprayed with pepper spray or they're exposed to tear gas or if they've been shot with rubber bullets or what they call beanbag shotgun shells. We had a few incidences on Monday. A lot of protesters clubbed in the back. A few medics clubbed in the back. Also, a lot of people with rubber bullet injuries, sublethal weapons, a lot of headshots. The police are supposed to shoot at the ground to take out protesters' legs if they're acting in a violent manner. So far, we've been completely nonviolent, and the majority of the sublethal weaponry has been aimed at the head and chest of protesters.
So it sounds like from your experience and the medical crew's experience here in Los Angeles so far, the police have been apparently violating their own guidelines using these weapons?
Yes, they have. They've also violated, they've covered up their badge numbers in opposition to what their protocol is. I understand that they are trained to shoot at heads and chest, so they fight how they train, essentially. They haven't been trained in proper techniques from what I've seen. They might come back and say yes they have, but the majority of wounds that I've treated are above the waist, not below the waist.
We talked with Mike Novick of People Against Racist Terror, one of the organizers of the rally and protest against police brutality here in Los Angeles. We asked Mike Novick what the situation was from his perspective that the citizens of L.A. face when dealing with the police.
The LAPD is notorious around the world for being a militaristic police force, and they've evidenced that here this week they attacked illegal march and rally just the Monday night, the opening night of the convention. They declared it an illegal assembly and proceeded to attack on horses with batons, with pepper spray and rubber bullets. They hit legal observers with rubber bullets. They sent Ted Hayes, the leader of the homeless convention, to the hospital by hitting him in the chest with a rubber bullet. And this is part and parcel of they've had a police state mentality in this whole city for over a week now, but it reflects what they do day in and day out in communities of color. In particular, the notorious scandal that hit the city last year was the Rampart issue, where the crash unit was carrying out all kinds of abuse and hiding it through putting drop guns on people they had illegally shot or in some cases killed or paralyzed, putting planted evidence, drugs on people. They stole drugs and sold them on the street. They were involved in running prostitution. And this is something that we think is going on around the city, this level of abuse and brutality. And unfortunately, with the support of the elected authorities in the city, the mayor has come out and attempted to intimidate demonstrators this week, and the mayor has made clear his support for the police department and the police chief, even in the circumstances of these scandals. And we've seen that it reaches very high up, because in many of these cases in the Rampart Division, the city attorney signed off, the district attorney signed off on perjured testimony, the U.S. attorney, both the city attorney of L.A. and the district attorney of this county had to drop so-called gang injunctions that they obtained based on perjured testimony from these very corrupt crash unit officers in the Rampart Division. So we think this is something that goes top to bottom, and that this is a moment when, by uniting our forces and uniting the different communities that are affected, the Chicano, the African-American, the Native community, the Asian-Americans, and conscious and conscientious white people, that we can begin to make a difference on this issue.
We've seen from our coverage of what happened in Philadelphia, where the police and the power structure there attempted to target leaders or so-called leaders of these various protests and events. What's the response by the LA power structure been to your efforts here to organize and in particular to this event today?
Well, they were forced by a lawsuit, the ACLU representing a whole host of organizations that were seeking demonstrations, went to federal court and won an injunction requiring the police to actually step back, issue the permits. We got our permit for this march almost a month after we should have, but they finally were forced to produce it based on a court order. And now there's a new lawsuit that's been brought just based around the violence Monday night and the violations of civil rights, human rights. I'll point out the mayor of the city said something along, he wrote a column for the LA Times and said something like, if people want to follow the path of Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi, they need to recognize they have to pay the same price, which, of course, Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi were assassinated. And this is outrageous talk from the mayor, elected mayor of a supposedly a democratic city or country, at this point in time. So we think that what we're seeing around, people sometimes have the march, this is what democracy looks like, but one of our chance today is actually, this is what a police state looks like, because you will see up and down the streets phalanxes of black-suited, hooded riot police. They're in helicopters, they're on horseback, they're behind every building in the square. When we get to Parker Center, I have no doubt that they will be lining a solid wall of blue and black. They brought in the National Guard and the Highway Patrol and every other police force in the county of Los Angeles to back them up. And when the demonstrations are over, they will still be here. Maybe not in exactly the same numbers, but 24/7, the LAPD is on people's cases, creating criminals and criminalizing people and putting people into the penitentiary and leaving them there for life. And so we're trying to turn that around. We think there is a moment here, as I said, because we've seen a movement on the death penalty, and we've seen exposures of police brutality. We've seen people waking up around the case of Umia and Leonard Peltier, and we think this is an opportune time. They're trying to strike back. They're trying to use this demonstration and this convention as an opportunity to gear back up the LAPD after these exposures, and we think that it's time for people to say enough and to really turn the tide on this question, to exert some community control over the police, to get some of these freedom fighters back out of prisons on the streets, to change the mass incarceration mentality and begin to divert people into community control, drug rehabilitation, and other ways to end this kind of mess that the society, the system has created for people with some community control.
We were able to talk to one of the supervising officers on the scene at Pershing Square.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Lieutenant Farrell, Mike Thornton with KVMR FM Radio. I wanted to ask you, get your thoughts about just all of this and how it's been from the perspective of the police here in Los Angeles over the last few days.
Well, I can only speak for Pershing Square, because this is where I've been and my officers have been since Saturday. And everything at Pershing Square has worked out just the way we had hoped it would. We haven't had any incidents of violence here in Pershing Square. We've been able to work real well with the march organizers and the coordinators to get all of the marches off in a safe manner. You talk about community policing. We've established a community here in Pershing Square, and it consists of marchers and organizers and business people and local residents who use the park. It's a viable community, and it's working so far. So it's been a good thing.
It seems that other parts of the city have apparently not been so community-oriented as Pershing Square, though.
Well, you know, I haven't been at any of those venues, and I haven't done anything out there, so I wouldn't, I can't comment because I haven't seen that. I know that I've worked closely here with the D2KLA people and the march monitors to make sure that as marches step off or leave Pershing Square, that the marchers have been safe and that, everybody's been, it's all been coordinated and it's worked really well. So this has been a real positive experience for my police officers and for the people who have been here in the park. I mean, look at my officers here in Pershing Square. They're interacting with people here. They're talking, they're chatting, they're taking pictures. Now, in another 2 hours when the march steps off, we'll be standing tall. We'll have our gear on, but that's just to facilitate the movement of the march out of the park. And when the marchers disperse and they all come back here to get their cars or meet their friends, we'll be here to greet them and make sure that conditions here in the park are safe and everybody's got their rights respected. So this is a model operation here.
As I understand it, a majority of the officers of LAPD are actually relatively new as police officers, averaging some 6 years of experience. This is the first big test, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have a very young patrol force in this city. It's the nature of police work that, number one, in a big city like this, it tends to be a young man or young woman's game. And so, the majority of our officers out here are probably between, 21 and 30 years of age. And most of them probably weren't around, even for the earthquake. So this is their first experience at a major department mobilization and a major department task.
Will you be glad when this is all over?
You know what? I'm getting tired. It's been 12-hour days since Saturday, and it's hot. My feet hurt, but I love this. I love being in the middle of an event like this, the first major event for the city of Los Angeles in the 21st century. And my little piece of it, has been great, and I've got to thank my boss, Captain Rich Rapoli, for allowing it to happen, and for everything that we see out here. So it's a real positive place to be.
The rally took place, and the marchers made their way to the Parker Center, which is the headquarters of the Los Angeles Police Department. By the time the protest made its way to Olympic and Figueroa several hours later and to the so-called free speech zone, the protest pit across from the Staples Center, the spirit of community that the lieutenant had referred to had seemed to take a very different turn. Unfortunately, a turn for the worse. And so here we go again this evening, out across from the Staples Center at the so-called Free Speech Pit. We're actually on Olympic Boulevard in Figueroa, and hundreds of armed police again are out blockading the street while hundreds of protesters are in the middle of Figueroa and Olympic. The police who were blocking the street to keep the protesters from marching through have now moved out of the way and will allow the marchers to come through. And now the demonstrators are moving to march north on Figueroa, in part so as to not be caught in this small enclosed space that is the protest pit, the so-called free speech zone.
And push them. They're gonna go off. The guns go off. The train's dead. We want to talk about the environment, right? This would not happen if we train these people against us to come here. Come in and escape. I was shot the other night. It's not going to work. They got to be restricted. Please, come inside. Don't cause problems. Come inside the barricade now. Come on. Otherwise, press the media. Come inside, please. Don't antagonize it. Do not antagonize it. Media, press. Come on. Everybody in!
So we have two movements happening here. On the one hand, we have a number of the protesters who are encouraging people to go in to the protest pit, and a number who are wanting to march up North Figueroa. Excuse me. And the police are now warning everyone that if they remain in the intersection, they will begin to clear the intersection in 10 minutes. This is their position, and they intend to do whatever is necessary, which could mean a return to the attack that we saw on Monday night here at the Staples Center at the Free Speech Zone across from the Staples Center and the Democratic National Convention. The police want the intersection cleared. They've given a 10-minute warning, and certainly if they stay true to form. And they are now warning that they will arrest anyone.
Everybody remain present. Will be arrested. You have 10 minutes.
Sesión por la parte de la policía. Sesión 409 del Código Penal prohíbe permanecer en una asamblea ilegal. Si usted permanece en la área que fue describida, a esperar de cualquier motivo para permanecer. Usted estará en violación de sección 409. Las rutas que pueden usar para desplazarse son las siguientes. Norte, en la calle Figueroa de Olympic. Ustedes tienen 5 minutos para desplazar.
We want you to move northbound and move out of the street. We want you to move at least one block north. You have 4 minutes to leave the intersection. Go northbound on Figueroa and use the sidewalk. This includes the media. The media also needs to be out of the intersection and up on the sidewalk.
What about the delegates?
We want you to move northbound on Figueroa. We want you to be one block north. Stay on the sidewalks and stay out of the street for your safety. Stay out of the street for your safety.
Well, the LAPD has just ordered everybody to stay out of the streets for their safety, and their behavior over the last few days would indicate that if you're in the streets, your safety is definitely in jeopardy. The police are bringing up a van with, about 50 officers. There's 1, 2, 3. And here comes LAPD SWAT coming in to move people out of the intersection.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, please move out of the intersection, up onto the sidewalks. Go northbound on Figueroa.
Yeah, make those people submit to this type of system.
They're already occupying a foreign country right here.
You call this democracy. What a farce. I've ever had to get out the dictionary and rewrite the word. Yeah. This ain't no democracy. It's a goddamn police state.
So I've asked everybody to start walking northbound out of the area. I've asked you to leave the block. You must leave an entire block, or I will contain the block and anybody remove. On Figueroa between 9th and Olympic is subject to arrest. So please continue to walk northbound off the street so you are not subject to arrest. That will include the media. I declare this an unlawful assembly. You have no right to leave here. I'd appreciate everyone's voluntary cooperation. Start leaving northbound on the sidewalk, so when I open the street, we don't have any problems with anybody getting hit. Thanks for your cooperation.
Are we a threat here? Are we as citizens of this country? Are we a threat in America to be on the sidewalks here talking to you? He's informing us with the police state that now they will arrest if we don't move to a certain distance up the street. Whatever that distance, the police department decides is proper. Maybe our rights are diminished to such a point in this country that there's a lot of Americans aren't even aware of it yet. Just look around us. Where have you seen such show of force to a bunch of people that seem quite peaceful to me? I don't know how you feel, but that's what I see. I'm a very peaceful man. Why do they need this police force out here? We're not even near the delegates. What's happening in America? That's my question. I think it's obvious.
And your name?
My name is Ben Brown. I'm 17 years old.
Ben, you were just telling me that the police that are surrounding this group of people here on Olympic and Figueroa told you something. Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. I mean, originally they told us we all had to move out of the intersection, and the intersection has been cleared. Now they're telling us we have to get out of the sidewalk. I was right next to the cops when they were telling us that. They told me that they would beat me up if I didn't move, that it would be very, very dangerous for me if I didn't move out of their way.
And we're talking about standing on a public sidewalk in the middle of downtown Los Angeles.
Right. And I was only sitting there because I've been marching all day and I have a bad leg and I had to rest. And that's the truth.
In addition to the threats being made against protesters and bystanders here on Figueroa and Olympic, the police have also informed the crowd that any media that is in the intersection or perhaps even on the sidewalk within their perimeter as they decide it will be arrested as well. The quasi-standoff continued for several more minutes, but as protesters moved off to march north on Figueroa away from the Staples Center, police lines began to shift and move out of the intersection as well to take up positions at other places in Los Angeles. So this time, a major confrontation appears to have been barely avoided, but avoided nevertheless. Reporting from the streets of Los Angeles, California, at the Democratic National Convention, for the Western Slopes News Service, I'm Mike Thornton.